Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us. We are talking about something that gets me so excited that I want to jump as quickly as we can into it. I've got my brother and friend, Irv Philpott, in the studio again this week. Welcome back, Irv. We're glad to have you.
So glad to be back.
We're going to talk again, our second show on this, this courting versus dating, dating on purpose versus just dating just to date, like the current American system of dating is, how broken it is. And we'll get to that in just a second. Let me remind you, 721 Live is a radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can find out all you need to know about us just by checking out the website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. You'll see past radio shows, Putting Green blog, a lot of write-up stuff on it. Check that out, and you'll get a heads up on what we're doing and what we're all about. Irv's second show in this three-part series on this courting, dating for a purpose versus just random dating. And last week, we just to give you a quick recap, we talked about how broken the American system of dating is, and we were hitting it with a lot of facts and statistics, but we were sort of general in that, in our approach. This week, we're going to be more specific about it.
Yeah, let's look exactly what it looks like out there in the real world, which is teen dating.
Because most of us sort of just look the other way and send our children out and just hope for the best. And what we demonstrated to you last week, and if you didn't hear it, then you want to get the recording on this, is that the system is so broken that If you'd have to be blind not to see it and not to say there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way.
Got to be a better way, and that's our prayer in this entire series, is that we get folks to stop and think, because there is a better way.
There's a better way, and we want to just keep reiterating that everything we're talking about is God is not about prohibiting us from having fun. As we used to think the current American dating system is fun, he's about protecting us from the harm and the scars and the baggage that result from this system.
Right. Because as we talked about last week, our target, those who are following the Lord, Jesus Christ, who know that the Scripture, they want to live by the Scripture, the target is for that child to be pure on their wedding night, for that wedding night to be their first introduction to physical intimacy. What believer parent would not sign up for that today?
And yet we throw our hands up in despair, thinking there's really no alternative. This is just what we have to accept and hope for the best.
That's right.
Romans 12, 1 and 2, especially verse 2, says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Brother, that's what we're going to be talking about, is not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by thinking about this a different way.
And that's again what we talked about last week, that you've got to go ahead and if you get our show from last week, if you didn't hear it, and you understand that the current system, the American system of dating, is broken, then once you do that, you need to understand that you are going to have to not conform to the pattern of this world to implement a new system, because it's definitely going to be swimming upstream.
And is there any doubt in anybody's mind listening, even if you're not sold out to Jesus, or even if you're not sold out to the Scripture, that the idea of having physical intimacy only with that first person that you marry and the person you stay married to is God's will for you, that that is the best for you? Because if you doubt that, you got to stop and rethink the way you've been thinking. But at the end of Romans 12, verse 2, it says, then if you stop conforming to the patterns of this world and you transform you're transformed by thinking about it differently, renewing your mind, then you will be able to know God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's what we want to find and see, is that God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is to keep us, protect us from all the scars and the baggage that come from the current dating system.
Let me add one thing right there, and this is for that person, as you said, who may be sitting there thinking that, you know, what is this these guys talking about, sex is for married people? Where are they coming up with this? And the question that we ask so oftentimes to folks is, did your becoming intimate with someone, did it make your life simpler, better, or did it make it more complicated? Think through that one, and I think you'll get the answer that it is clearly God's desire, His design, for physical intimacy to be with inside marriage. That's the only place where there's that safety and that protection, And again, that's God's best.
And that question has sex. Let's just say it. You like to say physical intimacy. Let's just say sex. Now, I hope that doesn't embarrass you, but you listening, I mean. But when you say to someone, and I've done this with adults who are post-married. Now, and I've even done it with married people. Did sex outside of marriage, did your previous sexual encounters, or even if it was not all the way, just what, did it make your life simpler? Or did it complicate your life? You ought to see the expressions on their face. It's this, oh, are you kidding me?
That question.
Of course. Yeah,
it made it more complicated. The scales fall off. It makes it more complicated. It makes it more difficult.
Let's take a glimpse into what teen dating looks like. What is it we're actually doing? Let's break it down and examine what you... Let's get a picture of what this really... What's happening while we're doing this. How about take some of that, and then I'll follow up with it, Herb.
All right.
One-on-one dating. Tell us.
Right. And again, this is coming from some material that we got, again, from Dean and Barbara Rainey and some articles they did. But I think it just so clearly capsulizes what the current system looks like, which, as we've said before, it comes back to you look good, I look good, see you at 8. And kids going out way, way too early. One-on-one dating leads couples to spend too much time alone at the peak of the sex drive for a young man. I don't think we need to describe or explain that any further.
I think anybody knows that.
Number two, teens make poor choices about whom to date and are negatively influenced by those who do not share their values. Mm-hmm. Again, that goes back to the Allstate article we talked about last week that clearly shows that until these children are in their 20s, they're not able to put together actions and consequences. Mm-hmm. Number three, teens develop emotional attachments that cause them to desire a physical relationship of the same intensity.
That's what's happening when this is going on.
That's right. And as Brother Sanders, I've heard you say many, many times, the minute you go physical, the emotions ramp up times 100.
And you can't think straight.
Fog rolls in.
You cannot think straight. And when I'm doing this with adults, I'm saying as soon as you sleep with him or you sleep with her, you're not going to be able to think straight. You will not be able to make good choices. But you can back that all the way up to kissing. As soon as a young teenagers kiss, it all rationale goes out of the window. And it's all hormones and emotions.
Right.
And they're not ready for that.
That's right. And we've talked about before that, again, the Hebrew word for kiss means to kindle. A kiss is always a prelude to something else. Mm-hmm. Let's be real about that.
And let me remind you, if you're listening to us today, this is not two guys talking who know nothing about this. We did the current American dating system. We did it all the way you could possibly do it, and we are living with the scars. So we're not two Quakers sitting there, not to offend any Quakers, but we're not two people who've never experienced this talking about some theory. We know.
Bullet holes from the top of our head to the tips of our toes.
And if you will listen, if you will stop and think, kissing, hand-holding, kissing, it all progresses. It keeps going, and the rational and the emotion and the emotional takes over the rational, and you cannot think straight.
It's a path that leads somewhere.
Keep going.
The next one says, acting either from peer pressure or from a need that is not met at home, teens begin pairing off as boyfriend and girlfriend when they are too young and immature to make good decisions. It also notes, eventually, the dating game sets up young people to move from one short-term relationship to another. They seek romance, security, self-fulfillment, and physical gratification. But when the initial infatuation begins to fade, they either move on to another person or form a close emotional attachment at an age when they are unable to make long-term commitments. And while there are many, listen to this, and while there are many causes for divorce, it's interesting to note that this pattern of short-term relationships leaves many people unable to fulfill the long-term commitment required of a married couple.
You've got a Velcro example on that.
Yeah, and I think that's so, so important because, as we're going to talk about more in the second part of the show, they call me Irv Field Trip. Mm-hmm. In other words, with all my kids, every chance I get, I go on the field trip. Because that's a chance to get one-on-one with one of these seven children. And I'm telling you, I see it constantly. And that is young kids at 7, 8, 9, 10, certainly 11, 12, 13, pairing off. And as you know, they go together for a week, and then they break apart. Mm-hmm. And then they go with someone else, and they break apart. Mm-hmm. And they go with this one, and they break apart. Or as they get older, they go together and get physical, possibly even sex, mm-hmm. and then they break apart. Mm-hmm. And see, again, our marriages need the Velcro, if you will, of physical intimacy mm-hmm. to hold that relationship together. It is absolutely vital to a healthy married couple, being in that one out of 10 that's at a 7 or 8, 9. And the problem is you stick Velcro together. If you've ever done that, you mm-hmm. stick it together, you yep. tear it apart. Yep. You stick it together and you tear it apart. You stick it together and you tear it apart. It doesn't stick so good. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about here. That's key that you get that. Mm.
Give me another field trip story that you and I talked about once, and it just hurt my heart so much, because and if you're listening and you keep getting confused, well, wait a minute, now they're talking about sex. Now they were just talking about the American dating system. That's because the American dating system leads to sex. It leads to physical intimacy. It leads to sex. It leads to things.
And it's back to our target. Our target is purity on the night of marriage. It's getting to that married night and following God's pattern for intimacy, pattern.
And being healthy and balanced and able to have a healthy and balanced intimate relationship with your marriage partner. Tell our listeners about the 12 or 13-year-old on the bus ride.
I remember it so distinctly, and I don't know that I'll ever forget it. I go on a long field trip with one of my children to Washington, D.C., and I visualize all sorts of things with these children and try to minister as much as I can. And I notice one young girl, very attractive young lady, sitting across the hallway from me there on the bus, and she's 12 years old. And on the way up, she's very cheery, you know, has a great time, enjoying herself. But I notice there's a young fella sitting right beside her the whole way. Well, on the way back, this same bubbly 12-year-old is in a ball crying. And I watch her cry for 13 straight hours. We get off the bus, she's crying. We get back on the bus, she's crying. We get off the bus, she's crying. At the end of the day, she's crying. She's unconsolable. A child of 12 years old is not ready to handle that kind of relationship. There's going to be a time for that.
A child that is 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, is not, I don't want them to have that kind of negative experience. And I will bet just about everything I own that there was some kissing that went on. And again, if you're listening, you think, well, these guys are prudes. I'm telling you, and if you will just stop and think, if they had just been friends, there would be none of that crying.
That's exactly.
Maybe a hurt feeling, but none of that crying
right.
stuff.
That's
that,
right.
That crying came because there was the American dating system at 12 in their little world rocked her world.
Somebody gave away part of their heart.
And she'll never be the same after that. There's a lot more about this in the second half of the show. We're going to continue to open up that curtain and look into what dating looks like. More later. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm glad you're with us. We are talking about something that is so important, and I have to believe somewhat radical. Irv, I've got Irv Philpott in the studio with me. It's funny, during that break, I was listening to the commercial, and Smokey the Bear said, only you can prevent wildfires. And it's sort of what we're talking to parents right now. Only you, if you will recognize that the current American dating system is shattered, broken, leading to all kind of problems, and a lot of wildfires that cannot be put out physical wildfires between your children, only you can really prevent that by setting up a different system. So you were finishing up in the first half of the show about this.
Let me add one thing on that. Again, that is so critical to remember, especially fathers. Mm-hmm. You are your child's primary protector mm-hmm. until they leave your home. Mm-hmm. And again, you can speak to them and speak into this crazy system, as we've seen, and you can make a difference.
You were finishing up about with a story about a 12 or 13-year-old girl who was shattered because her boyfriend broke up with her.
That's right. And what we were discussing was the fact that this child on the way up to Washington on the trip was very bubbly and having a good time, but it was after this breakup, which, you know, followed, as you say, the hand-holding, the arm around waist, possibly the kissing, we don't know. but all of these sorts of things, she was not ready to handle that. And certainly the breakup just left her completely devastated.
And, you know, it reminds me of going to a college football game with one of our mutual friends, and his daughter was in high school at the time. And I am convinced, I'm not naive, I'm convinced that she had not had sex with her boyfriend, but they had kissed. They had made out on the sofa, whatever you want to say, and they broke. He dumped her. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that entire game. She sat behind us. She never looked up to watch the game. She was so brokenhearted by that, yeah. And it hurt my heart so much. And now looking back, I want to say there's a better way.
Yes. And again, that takes us right back to remember all physical contact between a male and female sends a message.
And if you're a female, you are nodding your head right now. If you're a male, you might be thinking, you might be a little clueless, but believe me, it is true. All physical contact sends a message and progresses. And that is what we're trying to say. If you want God's best, we need a plan.
Think of it.
Let's continue, though, for just to paint this picture of, because we don't think about it. We send our children off into the car, into the night. And I will say that there is more group activity going on now than it was when you and I were coming along. However, that group activity, at some point, two people pair off and go off by themselves. And the idea of, certainly 12, 13, 14 sounds ludicrous, but if you really think about 15, 16, 17, 18, they're not ready for this.
That's right.
Think. My own daughter says, if you think that you're going to meet the real person on a one-on-one pairing off date type situation, you must be a fool.
That's
you're
right.
Never going to see the real person.
That's right. And I think that's where you go right after you discuss and realize the fact that children in this age frame that we're talking about are not ready to pair off. They need to enjoy being children. They need to take that time to have friendships and to grow. And again, there'll be plenty of time, again, as we're going to talk about in their 20s, when their brains have developed and they can start putting actions and consequences to have that kind of contact and that kind of relationship. But I think what you're going to also is another flaw to this system is that once you go face to face, once you say, I'm going to pick you up at 8, mm-hmm. what chance does a young man have to get to know that young lady? I mean, really? Mm-hmm. Like, how is she going to react when things don't go well? He's bringing, you know, possibly flowers and candy to the door, dressed in his finest. She, of course, from that day forward, she will probably never allow herself to be seen by him without every hair in place.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what options or what ability does she, as the female, have to actually get to know that young man when he's always on his best behavior? Right. He's putting up this front. You see, that system of having them pair off in middle school, much less, you know, even if you wait to high school, you're still in a situation, and we're going to discuss maybe even freshman, sophomore, college year, that model to be a time frame that you get to know somebody before you go face to face.
And just contrast in your mind, and you can just think back to your own experiences. You know, you're listening today, you can just think back to your own experiences, contrast in your mind that putting on the act, that you know, you cannot just be yourself. You've got to make, you know, you worry about what the impression you're making. Contrast that with the fun that two friends are having. And if one of them giggles in a funny way, it's no big deal because they're friends.
Oh, absolutely. And what a wonderful experience that can be, and a growing experience, a great relationship, and fun. Yeah. Being kids.
God's best.
That's right.
But you put them together face to face, and now you've got to put on an act, and you've got to worry, did I say the right thing, or did I do the right thing? And how many times have I seen teenagers second-guessing themselves, what did I do wrong, when they got dumped by their boyfriend or their girlfriend?
And being completely devastated.
Devastated.
And missing, as you said, the ball game, you name it. And sadly, as I've seen in my own home, much longer periods of time.
Than would ever be reasonable for just friends who might have liked each other a little bit. It
right.
puts too much pressure on them. It takes away the ability to just have fun. And you're never, ever going to be able to find a marriage partner to see the real person in this type of current dating system.
And what that does is that thwarts, in my opinion, the primary purpose supposedly behind dating. and that is to meet a marriage partner. You know, I think what it does, it just it throws that completely out the window.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I need to interrupt you on behalf of the audience. Are you trying to say that dating should just be for seeking a marriage partner?
In my opinion, that should be the primary purpose. I think the way to think about it is you don't go shopping until you're ready to buy.
You know, I sure don't. A lot of women do, but I sure don't want to. But wait a minute. I'm saying, okay, well, I mean, I don't even want my 13-year-old. I don't even want my 18 or 19-year-old. If they're going through the college course of life, I don't even want my 20-year-old thinking about every person they go out with as a marriage partner. It's 17 and 8. I don't want that. So help me with that.
Right. I think that's why we're going to suggest here in the end of this show and next show that in reality, the whole idea of dating on purpose is to wait until a time frame where the child is able to think, and then having a plan of how to meet a young lady, how to meet a young man that in fact may be a life partner that will set you up for the best possible chance of God's best.
You know, I just real quickly, I had an opportunity to see this in action with a couple that they actually were their first boyfriend and girlfriend with each other. Pretty sure that was their first kiss with each other. I don't know if they waited until the marriage to actually kiss, but there was no question that the marriage was the first time. I've never seen anything so much fun. So two people so in love, no hang-ups, no worries. They just were. It was the fulfillment of God's best.
Joy,
and comfort with each other. No games, no scars, no baggage that we just accept as unavoidable.
That's right.
What do we do then in the next show, in the third show? We're going to really break down the specifics of a different way, an alternative. There's a better way. And let me just keep saying, remember, God is not about prohibiting you from having fun. He's about protecting you. And I hope we have demonstrated, and if we haven't, you just stop and think, the current system dating in America is so broken. The scars and the baggage, the problems that come, the hang-ups that come along with it, there is no way that there's you getting anywhere close to what God wants. He's trying to protect you from that. So before we finish today's show, let's just get an idea of there's a better way.
There's a better way. And I think the key here is that we start early. And you've heard me give this talk before that it starts in kindergarten. What you want to realize is that our system or our culture is flowing even when our children are in kindergarten. Haven't you heard the aunt and uncle say, doesn't little Bobby have a girlfriend? Mm-hmm. Or doesn't little Susie have a boyfriend? I mean, that starts coming in. I've had to have some talks over these 8 years with people who I love very much and love dearly, and I tell them, I love you, I care about you, I understand what you're trying to say, but we have decided not to have boyfriends and girlfriends in our home through the teenage years. So I'd appreciate it if you'd just, we're not going to go there. Okay.
How many times do I hear it where the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the friends say, does little Johnny have a girlfriend? Mm. Does little Susie have a boyfriend? Isn't that cute?
The pressure to pair off begins in kindergarten. Now, it even ramps up when you get to grade school and middle school. Remember Mr. Irv Field Trip? That's me. When I go out and I actually see well-intentioned PTA moms, actually, they'll bring your child a mate. They'll bring them a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they will actually try to encourage that. And I've had to have those conversations as well. It's a swimming upstream. You're going against the culture, but I'm telling you, you need to start selling it there. You wait till your child's 13, 14, 15 years old, and you start trying to sell dating on purpose. I promise you, you're going to have quite a battle on your hands.
The best you're going to be able to do is modify the current system if you wait that long.
I really believe that. But if you went and you spoke with my 9-year-old right now and you asked her, who is your boyfriend? She would tell you, my daddy is. Mm-hmm. Or my son would say, my mom is. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start. It's a pattern that you want to start that early.
And before we finish, I just want to reiterate, we are really looking for God's best, and you'd have to be blind to be pushing back and saying the current system's just fine, because 1 out of 1,000 may be able to emerge from the current dating system in America and not be scarred and full of baggage. Next show, we're going to really get down about a plan, a way, another alternative to this current broken dating system in America. Be with us for the next show. Irv, you'll be back.
Can't barely wait.
So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.